David said in the Psalms, the Lord liveth. He said, the Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation. Notice what he said. He said, let him be exalted. He said, the Lord liveth. He said, blessed be my rock. He said, let the God of my salvation. He said, let him, no man, no preacher, no teacher, no prophet. He said, let him be exalted. Amen. Interpretation, David said, Jehovah liveth, is what he said. Amen. David, more than any one of his contemporaries, had a revelation that God was more than God, that God was alive. He said, Jehovah lives. If we could ever get that revelation, more than revelation knowledge, more than memorization of a Bible scripture, we could ever learn to rub shoulders with Jesus Christ. He could work exploits in our life. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. Let him, and only him, let only him be exalted. He said, Jehovah lives. And it was evident with the fruit in his life. That's what we're after. We live to exalt the true risen Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. David said, Jehovah, Barbara. He said, Jehovah lives. Jehovah lives. Hallelujah. Yes, he does, through a man named Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you for who you are. We thank you for the beautiful songs that we have to offer up praise to you. Father, we thank you for the brethren. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Redeemer. In all this, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give each other a hug before we get started tonight, please. Tell somebody how beautiful they are today. Oh, man, the Lord's been laying upon my heart, people, sheep. And somebody said, and I'm glad they noted it, because I really didn't note it Sunday night. And again, you know, when you start worshiping Jesus, I think there's nothing else in the world that really compares to knowing him in an intimate manner. I mean, I love meditating the scripture, praying in the spirit, building the house up, and that's part of my life. It's our heritage, and I'll do it to the day I die. But when you feel Jesus, when it's just you and him, no one else, no music, no nothing, it's better than a 22-ounce ribeye, medium rare. But nothing compares to knowing the risen Savior. David said, the Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. He said, Jehovah, Hebrew, breakdown, Jehovah lives. We serve a risen Savior, man. We have to know him more than just in the beginning sense. See, this is how we know that we know him. We got to know him in a completed sense. And that's what we're all after here in this church. I really believe that with all my heart. But I know what the Lord's showing me, and I know what direction he's taking me with the ministry with the youth. I know I'm slowly but surely transitioning out of the youth. Talked to pastor already. Slowly but surely. I don't know when. But I want to do a lot more with the unity with the men, with the brethren of the church. We just need so much more unity. We just need so much more. We have, it's minimal. It's minimal. And somebody said, they didn't mean nothing by it. And neither did I. They said, you really stepped on people's toes talking about the bus. I said, look, the thing wasn't about the bus. It was about where we're at as a body. Because there's so many people who have come into our church that we've left to the wayside. Me, I mean, I oversee 10 or 11 employees at work. And I tell them all, you know, I always tell them when there's a problem at work, let's not dwell on the negative. Let's take a positive out of the negative and let's fix the problem. There's no need in pointing fingers at somebody all the time and telling them you were wrong. Let's just fix the problem. And, you know, and with the bus and having mothers and fathers in the spirit, that's just where we're at. That's just where we're at right now. We can't seem to have the mindset of discipleship. I mean, what do you mean, homeboy? It's evident. We just don't right now. And we can't depend on Pastor Bronk to do everything. He has us here as laymen to disciple the sheep. And that has to be, it's vital, you know. It's so vital to, it's real comfortable going home after work and relaxing, but doing what we do for the Father, we have to have a heart for people. It's a must. And then there's a, I know it's often been said that, well, I'm not there yet. I'm still praying in tongues. I'm still reached that level. That's an excuse, man. That's an excuse. Because if well, I'm not there yet, I'm not mortified yet, but then if that was a legitimate excuse, then it wouldn't be wrong in his eyes for me to be complacent. There's so much we can do right now, even in the natural, with those that have been born again. There's so much we can do that's not being done. And the point wasn't the bus. The point wasn't the mothers or the women in this church or the men not fathering. It's just, that's just where we're at, me included. Because he's showing me so much about where I'm failing, discipling those kids that come in. But I got a plan. And I got a young man that's helping me, that's hungry for Jesus, that's helping me. But we're going to disciple these people. You know, we're going to, I promise you that, we're going to disciple them. What good is it for me and you? Plant a seed, get them born again, and then walk away from them. Ezekiel talks about irresponsible shepherd. I don't want to be an irresponsible shepherd, Miss Barbara, on the day of judgment. I don't want to be, quite the contrary. Matthew says, go into all the nations making what? Disciples. Do we disannul that? Do we disannul it? It's easy sowing a seed of the gospel. That's real easy. That'll take you 2 minutes to get somebody born again. Discipleship takes time. It takes time and commitment. And there's so much I believe that we can do. If we're claiming revival, and I think every one of us is getting closer and closer every day. Closer and closer to the bosom of Jesus Christ. But my brothers and sisters, it has to be in discipleship. There's nothing wrong with getting people over in your house and sitting together and talking about 1 John. There's nothing wrong with that. Telling somebody about the power of the born-again spirit. There's nothing wrong with making a phone call once a week to a person just being born into the kingdom. Nothing at all. In fact, Paul did, he ran his circle. His whole life, all through the epistles, he did his circle. Doing what? He would go check on every single church to make sure they weren't off on their doctrine, preaching the law, and checking on all the sheep. If we're ever going to receive this apple, we got to learn, and we got to want to tend to the few that we have. I mean that. You got to grasp that. You got to grasp it. You got to. It's easy to sit down for a few hours at night and pray and read and worship, but we're getting fat and sassy. What about the little ones? What about the little ones? Listen to this real quick. I'm not going to keep it long. I just want to talk a little bit about discipleship. Luke chapter 15, verse 4. Luke 15 and 4 says, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Now the sheep was his at one time. It left the flock. Now sheep are gullible. They can't defend themselves very much. It'd be easy in context here for that sheep to go off into a stray area, for a wolf to come and grasp it and rip its leg off or cut it and make it bleed. And the sheep runs off into the mountains, escaping the wolf, i.e. brothers and sisters in Christ, get born again, endure for a while. Satan comes to take the word out of their mouth, out of their heart, their soul. They're badgered and bruised, left alone. Here he said, what man of you having 99 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not go into the wilderness and find? Oh, notice what he said. Can you imagine the shepherd going and through the rocks, through the cliffs, and searching for one little sheep and bleeding to death, hungry, starving, scared to come off of the mountain because of the fear of the wolf that would torment it and kill it? He goes to the sheep. He didn't ask the sheep any questions. He didn't chastise the sheep. He gets it. Got it, laid it on his shoulders, bleeding, blood coming down his chest, his arm. Puts the sheep on his back and carries it back to safety. Now, I don't like quoting men too much. I don't like quoting men at all. I like quoting Jesus. You know, I put on the other day that we quote preachers more than we do Jesus Christ. We quote every Tom, Dick, and Harry all the time. Whatever happened to quoting Jesus Christ? Whatever, author, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We quote every, and most people that we quote, there's no substance in their life. I don't know of any preacher that walks on water. I've never met one. Never in my life. But whatever happened to quoting Jesus? The church is asleep. It's flat out asleep. Whatever happened to quoting Jesus? But I did ask somebody the other, a couple of years ago, I said, can I ask you something, Gary? I said, the prodigal. This is all together with the prodigal. I said, is he talking about a person that was born again? He's talking about a stray? Or is he talking about somebody that's never been born again? He said, I think it's talking about both. And so do I. I think it's talking about both too. But notice what he said here. He said, you lose a sheep, you search for it, you find it. Battered and bruised, hungry, thirsty. He went to the sheep, went to wherever he could find it, behind a rock, in a cliff, in the valley, on the mountain. He searched for it. He picked that sheep up, laid it on his shoulder, and brought it back to the flock. My friend, he's not talking about a sheep. He's talking about people. He's talking about young ladies and young men, elderly women that have come in to us. We've just let them go. That can't be our mindset. That can't be our mindset. They're battered and bruised. Now, I've made that mistake so many times. Where I see a young person come in here on fire for Christ, and then a young lady gets pregnant, and I say, well, she's never coming back. I'll just let her go her way. My God, just because she gotten pregnant doesn't disannul her from the kingdom. So I made it a point this week to get a hold of four or five people that I just thought about them. I found them. You know what? They were excited to hear from somebody. They were excited, man. And I cried. One of them wrote home, I know I haven't been there, but I'm coming back. I said, baby, I know you're coming back. And we didn't have church Sunday night, and guess what? They want to know how come we didn't have church Sunday night. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. But my heart towards people, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to people. There's too many that we've left out there, battered and bruised. Our time is now, my friends. To disciple these sheep. You can't make one come to a discipleship class. You can't make one sit at your house with you as you pray for a little bit and go over first. You can't make it, but you know what? We can darn sure offer it. We can darn sure offer it. You really want to know if you're effective spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if you want to know if you're genuinely people are getting born again, or they're just saying yes for you to shut your mouth and quit badgering them. You want to know how you know? Because I'll tell you this much right now. It's so much easier to spread the gospel when you listen. I knew a guy in a wheelchair last year. And he was an atheist. He really hates God. And I could see why him being an unbeliever, because he's crippled for life. Lest Jesus come through a man or woman to lay hands on him, he'll be crippled till the day he dies. But I was with him, and I said, Lord, I've talked to this guy for a long time. What do I say? Give me the words, Jesus. I want to sow a seed in his life. And I heard after that he was real dull towards the gospel, that he would tell people, I don't even want to hear about your God. Please shut up. I already told several people that. But it's so much better. No, let me rephrase it. It's paramount. It's of the utmost importance that we operate and minister out of the unction, out of that born. Because you can easily make a fool of yourself even if the other person don't tell you you're stupid. You could easily run at the mouth and minister Jesus out of the flesh if you don't operate out of that born again spirit. I'm telling you, it might sound crazy, it might sound contradicting, but you can easily get off in the flesh even ministering Christ Jesus. So I told that young man, I said, man, put my arm around him first. That's been one of the hardest things that's been for me to do, is to hug people. But I'm getting better as I touch the bosom of Christ. It gets easier. Put my arm around him. I said, Lord, I need your wisdom, Father, because I feel something in me. I feel something in me, Lord. There's a drawing to this man. Well, there was a compassion in me because I seen him in the wheelchair. I said, but what do I tell him? And when I felt the unction, I don't want to sound super spooky, super spiritual on you, but I felt the Lord tell him to forgive the church, to forgive Christian people. that didn't feel right. But you know what? I felt it, and I felt a drawing. I was almost in intercession inside of me over that man. I said, man, forgive the church, my brother. Forgive Christians. He looked at me. He said, wow. Now, I could have easily told him, hey, brother, God love you. He could have easily told me to shut up and get out of my face with that nonsense, with that religious talk. Or you can operate by the unction, break the ice, sow a godly seed, and get a godly result. Now, he didn't get born again, but you know what, Miss Barbara? That day, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, a seed was sown. He has become my good friend. And it's just a matter of time before that young man or that man gets born again. But we have to operate out of that unction. Jesus went to Samaria for one woman. For one woman. You have to operate. We have to operate out of that unction. You just can't go to every single body in the world and tell them about God. You can if you want to. You're shooting the dice. Or you can operate. Father, which one of those six or seven is thirsty? Which one of those six or seven is ready? Which one, Lord? What do I say, Jesus? You'd be surprised at the results that you would get by operating out of that unction. This is how we know that we're effective in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how we know. I'm not going to keep you long. This is how we know. If someone, now when I got born again, now I'm not going to put this on 100% of the time. When I got born again, I was a child of Satan 20 years ago. All I knew was unrighteousness. All I knew was perversion. I was spiritually dead. I gave my life to Jesus, my friend. Let me tell you something right now, and this may not be the case at all. When you get born again, you feel it, man. Because you go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. I cried for 3 days. Why? Because the Son of God came and made his abode in me. He took me from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. And I cried for 3 days. And without anybody discipling me, without anything, all I needed to do was to read my Bible. And then I wanted to go to church. I wanted to find a church. Why? Because something happened inside of me. I was born again. I looked for men and women of God. And thank God, and I'll say this, and thank God Kathy and Rick were in our lives, that they helped me and my wife become the men and women of God that we are today. Thank God Kathy was there for my wife and helped me with my children when I was out forever to the day I die, be in debt to both of them, because they helped me and they discipled us in the faith. But this is how you know if you're effective evangelizing or preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many will tell you they're born again just to keep you from badgering them. Okay, I'm born again. But my friends, if they tell you they're born again and they don't seek discipleship and they don't seek a church, you might want to think that you badgered them into a confession. Because when you get born again, my friend, there's a change in your life. Your DNA changes immediately. You go from spiritual death to spiritual light. You go from unrighteousness to righteousness. You go from a child of Satan to a child of God instantaneously. Your appetite changes. Be real careful how you minister. When a person genuinely gets born again, I'm telling you, you can't keep them out of church. You can't keep them from asking questions. Be careful that you're just not drawing a confession from them. There's got to be fruit behind that conversion. And there'll be a hunger for Jesus. There'll be a hunger for Christ. Be real careful that we're led completely by the unction when we preach Jesus Christ. Jesus himself operated out of that unction. We're no better than Christ Jesus. It's easy to quote scripture out of remembrance. It's another thing for that scripture to be abundance in you and to live out of that abundance that's in you. I'm telling you, this world, they don't need another person yelling out Jesus. They need another person speaking Jesus out of that unction, out of that love, out of that compassion that lives inside of me and you. And I've made the mistake. About a month ago, I got on fire. I was going to go win the whole town for Jesus. I was going to go to every single corner and win the town for Jesus. The next morning, I felt conviction, Miss Barbara, because he wants me to witness him out of that unction. He knows who's ready. He knows who's ready for that seed to be sown. Sometimes we can even push people back by ministering out of our intellect. We have an unction. We have a born-again spirit for a reason. Wisdom comes out of our spirit. We just got to be, like James says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to listen to what, James? The inward witness. If we're quick to listen and slow to speak, we'll obey and operate out of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. But James said, you got to be quick. Why? Because he's be quick to listen to what? That inward instruction. God knows what that person needs. He knows what that person's going to. It's up to me and you to listen with our spiritual ear and not be so quick to talk and not to be so quick to respond, but to be so quick to listen to the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when a person gets born again, there is a change. I felt it. I cried for 3 days. Your DNA changes. Everything about you changes. And you want to rub shoulders with the brethren. You want to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about the scriptures. Be careful that you're ministering out of that unction. Because a confession with the mouth is vanity. Salvation has a beginning, and it begins in our heart. What we confess with our mouth is a fruit of what we want out of our heart. It's so vital. It's so vital that we minister Jesus Christ according to the unction. It's so vital. Like Pastor said about Paul, he could have gone, he wanted to go this and there, then that place, but was prohibited by the Holy Spirit. He knows who's ready. We just have to have that keen ear to hear the voice of righteousness, to know there he is, Jesus. When people go to the plant and talk to me there, I'll let them talk a little bit, and then I'll just wait. I'll just wait quietly. So how's your son doing? What son? Well, your son. How's your son doing? I'm just speaking to you. And then when you say something that they're going through that and they don't even know you, that'll get their attention. That'll let them know that there is a higher power. Oh, sir, I haven't seen you in 20 years. How did you know that about me? Well, I didn't, sir. I serve an awesome God. And sir, do you need prayer? Does your child need prayer? Well, yes, I do. How did you know that I didn't, sir? I don't get too spooky spirit going, well, the Lord told me, sir. I said, no, I just felt it in my heart, sir, that, you know, your son or your daughter needed prayer. How's the wife doing? Is she okay? How'd you know that? But it's so vital, my friends. It's so vital that we are so quick to listen and slow to speak. It is of the utmost importance as believers that we honor that part of James. Quick to listen and slow to speak. It's in our DNA to care for people. It's in our DNA to disciple people. We just got to love them more than we love our own personal time. We just have to love them more than we love our personal. We have to stop using the excuse, well, I'm not there yet. Will we ever be there? Will we ever really be, quote unquote, there, mortified? You just got to be willing to take time away, 30 minutes, once a week, once every 2 weeks. Hey, fellas, come on over to the house. Well, I don't want to go. Okay, that's fine. But at least we know, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we offered fellowship, that we offered unity, that we offered 30 minutes of our time to go over the power of the born-again spirit. We can't force anybody to be a disciple. That has to be a choice. But if a person truly is born again, from what I know of the scriptures, they'll want to be discipled. They'll want to know about the Bible. It's up to me and you as men and women of the Most High God to take time out. And we're all busy. We all have kids. We have jobs. And our kids play sports. But hey, there's time, man. There's got to be time. We have to make the time to sit down. Now, we already got something in place already. The 29th of this month, we're going to have a fun day here for the teenagers. And everybody's invited. We're just going to We're going to play. We're going to get a Ruben. This has been Ruben's idea for a long. We're going to buy a big old king-sized kickball. We're going to play kickball there and make some happy. Just the fellowship. There's got to be unity. There's got to be laughter. There's got to be handshakes. There's got to be hugs. There's got to be talking with each other. It's just, we can't wait for Pastor Bronk to do everything. There's a lot of mature people in here that love Jesus with all their heart. There's got to be unity, man. If not, let's just take the book of Acts and disannul several scriptures. Let's just disannul them. Homer, you can't force it upon anybody. You're right, I can't. But I'm willing and I want to right now. And I got a few people that want to come with me on this. And we're going to put it together. We're going to have a good time with people. And we're in about 2 weeks, we're going to have our first discipleship. Because I got two young men that I'm working with. We're going to begin to teach line upon line the book of 1 John. We're going to teach it line upon line once every 2 weeks. To anybody that gets born again here on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, we're going to get them together. We're going to offer it. That way they cannot say, and Satan cannot accuse, that we didn't, by the love of our heart, offer something to the little ones. It's our love. It should be our joy to do this, to see our brothers grow in Christ, to see them rub shoulders with the risen Savior. But it all has to be done out of the unction, the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can't afford to see any more go down that path. I can't. It breaks my heart. When I heard from those four this week, I about cried. Oh, I'm so glad you, one of them said, I've been thinking of it. I said, well, I'm sorry. I haven't gotten a hold of you, but I'm here now. So you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Well, thank you, Pastor Omar. I needed that. I'm going to be in church Sunday night. I said, okay. If you're there, you're there. If not, I love you. I'll call you again next week. But how long does it really take to do a little follow-up on somebody? A couple of minutes. Maybe a supper for somebody. To sit down and laugh with them. And if somebody is a little one and they're struggling, and they come over for dinner, they're going to bring up their struggle. They're going to bring it up. That's when we have the authority, when they bring it up, okay, Lord, I can speak into their life. Not just speak into their life, I can begin to show them and sit down with them the power of 1 John. I think 1 John is so vital for us to know as born-again believers. I think 1 John 3:9, and I'm almost done. I think 1 John 3:9 is one of the most powerful verses that we could ever grasp. This verse, not here, not in our human intellect, but in our hearts, we would never be the same. John writes in 1 John 3:9, whosoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. That verse is so powerful, saying if you have been born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as personal Lord and Savior, you do not habitually sin. If we could ever grasp that verse in here, not here, every single Christian would make it. I am thoroughly convinced of that. If you come to the revelation that Jesus Christ died, he rose again, and immediately when you confess him as Redeemer, there was an internal change that took you from darkness to light. If you can really grasp that, I believe every single person would make it. Because then they would come to that revelation, and they would never, ever have an excuse. If they could ever grasp that something was deposited inside of their spirit, they would never, ever have an excuse. I am far from arriving to being a revivalist, my friends, but I've come up with one conclusion. That the day I got born again 20 years ago, something was deposited in my spirit, and there was a change. Because immediately when I got born again, I knew to throw away all the perverted, X-rated CDs that I had. I knew they were trash. I knew the day that I got born again that all that secular music in my car was to go in the trash. Why? Because there was a spiritual change in my life. And it's so, so vital. It's so, so vital that these little ones know the book of 1 John. It talks about what happened when we got born again. It talks about what is inside of us once we got born again. It talks about what comes from inside of us when we got born again. It is so vital to know, not here, not here. Anybody can memorize the Bible verse. Anybody can. It's another thing to carry it in you as abundance. There's power in the rebirth. I had a kid today. I went to the football field. I go watch my kids every day, and I see kids out there. And that's a lot of the harvest field for me. I'll go up to them, and someone will come up to me, and I'll wait patiently. Hey, Pastor Homer, they think I'm going to ask him, how come you ain't been in church? I'm going to go to church, son. That's okay, man. Okay, baby. But these little ones that are out there, they need us, man. We're Christ's ambassadors here. He's called us the father and mother of the little children. They're little children, man. We just got to give up some of our time. What's 30 minutes every 2 weeks? We offer what we know. We offer them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We offer them truth. We tell them about Jesus Christ the way we know. Not that we're anything else, but the way, some people don't agree, and they don't have to agree with this. I don't know of any other way to get the truth out of God's Word than going over a book over and over again. I love to hear you preach the book of Revelations reading it one time. I'd really love to hear you. I tell you what, I wouldn't come back to your church. I'd love to hear Alex preach Revelation and be reading it one time, and I've gone through it 40 or 50. Shut up, Alex. People are hungry. And they're believing almost anything right now. They're believing almost anything. So what happens when the man or woman goes with the authority, when the love and the compassion of the Holy Spirit and teaches them sound doctrine? That God doesn't kill. That God won't punish you for not reading your Bible in 4 days and spraying your knee. You'd be surprised how many people believe that kind of stuff, man. The majority do. I'm far from knowing everything, but I know what my Father's capable and incapable of doing. That I do know. And I'm telling you right now that He's called us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ out of that born-again spirit, hearing that unction, hearing the truth that comes out of it. He's called us to live out of that godly well. He's called us to live out of that incorruptible seed to minister His word with a hearing ear. And then He's called us to get them born again. And He's called me and you as His ambassadors to disciple those little ones, to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, to teach them about worship, to teach them about that born again spirit. He's called me and you to do that, man. You think He's called me and you to get them born again and to leave them alone, never to call them again? If you believe that, you don't know much about the Almighty God. But I'm telling you, if you're going to minister Christ, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm sitting right there between Alex and Oralia, I've gotten them born again and I let them go to the wayside. That's a no-no, man. Let's take time out. Let's seek God with all our heart. Let's help these little ones. Because they're believing almost anything right now. And it's our love. It's not a response. If you think it's a responsibility, then you haven't quite gotten to the point where you love them enough to minister to them. It's not a responsibility. It's our love and our compassion to minister Jesus Christ to them at the rebirth and then to them again after they're born again. 1 John is an excellent place to start because it talks about what happens when you get born again. It talks about what's deposited inside of you once you're born again. It talks about what comes from the inside once you're born again. You know, we're sons of God in truth and in love. In truth because we confess Christ as Redeemer. And we walk in truth once we're born again. But once you walk in truth, you're called to live out of that truth. And living out of that truth is called walking in love or keeping the commandments of God. All that's internal. All that's an internal operation. People got to know this. They got to know what real love is. People think love is an outward. It's not outward. Love begins inward because it's instructions from within. You ask a Christian what love is and they can't answer it. Love is nothing more than accepting Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. He obeyed the first commandment, Jesus, you are God. And out of that commandment, then the commandments are in us. The unction is working in us. And out of that unction comes the commandments of God. What commandments? Anything you can think of is a commandment of Jesus Christ. But you can't keep the commandments plural unless you keep the commandments singular. You got to be born again. People got to know that love is nothing more than operating out of that incorruptible seed. The love is nothing more than keeping the inward witness. One thing that the Lord's been dealing with me, us as parents, I know every parent in here will agree with me. Most of you, if you're telling the truth. We think when our kids do bad, and I'm closing in about 5 minutes, for real. First closing, cross my heart. We think when our kids do wrong, and do you got kids that do wrong, Homer? Yep. Yes, they do. But they also got a father that does wrong. But we think that we have the legal right to speak to them any way that we want to when they do wrong just because they're our children. Don't we? What did you do that for? So you know I work hard. You know I work to put clothes. What did you do that for? Really, is that the instruction of love out of our spirit? We feel as parents, because they're our children, that we have the right to get onto them any way that we want to because we can. Oh no. Far from being the truth. Every time that one of my children does something wrong, I'm reminded instantly and I'm practicing to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Okay, son, how could we handle this situation better? Okay, son, you know that's not right, son. You know that you're raised better than that, son. You know that that's not commendable in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And the response that you get from your children when you operate out of love is incredible. But when you start yelling at them and telling them this and that, it's over. You might as well not even told them nothing. But if it's done in love, you cannot go wrong. Our operation is completely out of love. Everything that we say or do is out of that unction, out of that born-again spirit. Everything comes from within. Everything. Everything said or not said is a seed sown, my friends. Our operation is completely internal. We never have the right to rebuke anybody or get onto anybody in anger. If we do, and love come out of me and told me not to do it, if I did it and this is no love, then I walked in hate. Our God is glorified through one thing and one thing only, with me and you as believers walking His agape. That everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. If you could just grasp that right there. Quick to listen and slow to speak. There would be a lot of awesome things happening in your life. And when things happen or when there's trials and tribulations, you would just take a deep breath and wait for the instruction of the Holy Spirit. My God, life gets so much easier. Our kingdom is internal, man. It's internal. Our operation is internal. Our leadership is internal. Why? Because inside of our heart, there's a DNA of royalty inside of us. Our Father is a king. Not an outward king. Yes, He's an outward king, but my God, He lives inside of me and you, and He wants me and you to bring Him glory by listening to His instruction from within. He wants us so bad. He wants us to rub shoulders with Him. He wants us to walk according to the inward witness. And He wants us to go to those little ones that we've ministered to before, that have been battered and bruised and ran up into a mountain bleeding. He wants us to go forward right now at this time of our life to go get them. Search for them behind the rock, inside the cliff, in the valley. He wants us to go. I've been looking for you. Get them battered and bruised with their leg maimed. Just get them and put them on our shoulders and bring them back into the flock. And to minister the life of Jesus Christ to them. It does no good, my friend, to minister the gospel outside of discipleship. It does no good at all. Now, granted, they might get born again and they might make it. But how many people have we claimed, me included, that have been born again and are here tonight? It's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little effort. to help those in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That should be our passion. That should go right along with loving Christ, this loving my brother. It might cost you a hamburger. It might cost you a Saturday night. And I tell these kids now, I said, I just don't want you to be my friend, man. I want to turn you into a disciple of Jesus. I know, Pastor Omar, I know. And if they don't want it, well, Terry, I can't force them to want Jesus. But I can do my part as a joint heir with Christ. Say, my brother, let's partake of this bread. Let's talk about the power of 1 John. Let's talk about the love of God. Come on, Lord, let's worship God for 10, 15 minutes. Come on, Lord, let's pray in the Spirit for 20, 30 minutes. It's there. It's attainable. We just got to want it. And the more we love Jesus, the more you'll see what I'm talking about. We can't leave the little ones out there by themselves. We know who's out there right along with them. Satan and the little devils looking to steal anything that was sown in their heart and spirit. The Father's called me and you. He's called me and you to take a little time and to mentor those little ones. Tell them about the Holy Spirit. Tell them about meditation through assimilation. Talk to them about confession. Talk to them about worship. To talk to them about Jesus. If they can ever grasp and understand that they have been born again, that the seed of God abides in them, if they can ever grasp it internally, they will never go back. They will never, ever go back. If it's here, it'll just be remembrance. But if it's stuck in here, even if they fail along this journey, they'll repent because they'll know what's inside of them. A powerful, spiritual, holy, undefiled DNA. My friends, we've been born again. We have what it takes to make it. First Peter says, for the Spirit of God and of glory rests inside of me and you. We have been very well equipped to make this journey. We are very well equipped to conquer our land and to help those little ones. It should be our love and our passion. So I ask you today, think of someone that you've led to the Lord that you haven't called in a while. Well, God didn't tell me to call them. Okay? We want to obey God now, don't we? Don't call them. But I know I called 4 people this week, and they were tickled pink. And they cried, and they were tickled pink. Don't think they don't want our fellowship. It's easy to hug somebody in church that you haven't seen for 4 months. Oh, God, how are you? God bless you. Okay, what about the 4 months prior when they were out there lost in space? He's probably thinking, hey, I've been out of commission for 5 months. Homer, what happened? Oh, nothing, but you're back now, Alex. Praise God. 30-second phone call. A minute phone call, Pablo. Lord, hey Alex, how you doing? Homer, I'm not doing too good. Well, just want you to know, brother, that I'm here for you. You need somebody to cry with you? I'm here. You want to come up for dinner? I'm here. If you need any money? I left. You see what I'm saying? It's simplicity. It's simple. It's real simple. You need money? Oh, well, this is a recording. It's not a tone. Just identify yourself. You mess with a recorded. Really, it really is that simple. You see, it's easy to hug somebody in here. Oh, it's simple. Oh, you get under the anointing. You feel a good one of them good songs that Matt plays. Oh, it's oh, yes. I love you with all my heart. My brother, you ain't called me in 6 months. Last closing, for real. Somebody told me. I asked them, a good friend of mine, if they'd be a guy to be my best friend. They said, you know what? Something that bothers me the most. And I said, what's that? When I go to church, somebody that hadn't talked to me in a year runs up to me, tells me I'm the best thing in the world. And that's good and commendable. Don't get me wrong now. Not everybody that gives somebody a hug is a bad person. Far from it. But what about the year up to that hug? You don't think they were in the wilderness, in the valley, bleeding, just waiting for one of us to... A simple, I love you, or a simple, I'm praying for you. So what if you would have missed it? I heard a pastor say one time, I'd rather be over-compassionate than be under-compassionate. A simple, I love you will go a long ways. It will go a long way. You don't have to break out a questionnaire. A simple, I love you will go a long ways. A simple breaking of bread together will go a long ways. A simple laughing together will go a long ways. It's up to us. We've been served. I don't think I said tonight with a judgmental spirit. I just know that the sheep that have been here before, believe it or not, a lot of them are crying out for help. Do we have that spiritual ear to discern and hear which ones are ready? The Holy Ghost was 4 for 4 with me this week. He put 4 people on my heart and off. And I asked him, I said, Lord Jesus, I keep hearing Maria's voice all the time. Okay, stay away from Facebook. And I do, to the most part. But the good thing about Facebook is you can look for somebody you haven't seen in a long time, type up their name, find them, and guess what? You send them a message because you can't keep up with everybody's phone. Everybody's got metros, and everybody loses their number once a month. Nobody has the same metro number for more than 3 months. So Facebook, it can be a detriment, but my God, it can do you good. You just type, okay, Marty Plumund. I can't spell his last name. Marty Plumund. Punch it in. Send him a message. Marty, how you been, brother? God bless you. I haven't seen you in a long time. I remember we used to get together and watch football. Come over again one of these days, Marty. He'll get the message. He'll type back, okay, Homer, I will win. Or whenever. And that's where it starts. And if you can get to him on an intimate level, one-on-one, that's great. But there's a lot of ways nowadays we can get a hold of people. And a lot of them, they're ready. They just need a little bit of jump start, man. They need a little jump start, a little bit of love, a little tender loving. Well, it can be a detriment, which is Facebook. It can be. It can be a pain. It can be a time consumer. But you can also do the work for the kingdom of God on Facebook. Because you can get a hold of people that you know, they can have a phone number, a metro in January, and in February, somebody else got the number. Right or wrong. And then in March, somebody else got the number. They're out there. It's up to me and you. We don't have to be dead enough and a revivalist in God to do a follow-up phone call. Just have to be willing. Take a little time out of our schedules. I got a busy schedule, man. I got 6 kids, 4 granddaughters. The Lord really put it on my heart. I'm done again. Last closing. About 2 or 3 months ago, to really, really disciple my children. Not just have them read, but now we read and we talk about what we read for 5 minutes. Open discussion. And I'm teaching them the power of the born again spirit. And he's teaching me to grab their hands at night and to pray with them. To pray those angels protected. To pray that my daughters won't be molested, that they won't be raped. To pray that my sons will be virgins. Pray that they find the right girlfriend, the right boyfriend. And I pray those ungodly friends out of their life. The Lord is having me disciple my kids. And we've been doing it. As a matter of fact, last night they tried to be slick on me. They tried to go to sleep. Elijah got up. Oh, Dad, I was almost asleep. That's okay, you're almost awake now. Get up. And honest to God, my wife, I don't play around with them. And you know what, though? If I sit with them as the head of the household, they like it. And once you ask them, some, okay, what's it mean to be born again? And they answer it. And they see that they answered it. They get a little smile on their face. But he's calling me as the head of the house to teach my children about worship. Now, he's been calling me. You know what? He's not only calling me, but he's calling you. Before I can win the world, my friends, I got to tend to my own first. I got to do my part as a godly man to tend to them. I can't make them serve Jesus, but my household will be structured And a foundation will be laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. I will do my part as a man of God. I will do my part. And my children are far from being perfect, but I'm doing what I've been called to do as the head of the house. That's to love my wife with all my heart and to love my kids and to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. He's called me to be a godly man, to die to the things of this world, to take up my cross and to follow him daily. You got issues in your life, Homer? Heck yeah. Cap blocks, H-E-C-K. Heck yeah, I do. But I don't know how to purge them. Proverbs says that by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged from the heart. This will do wonders in me and you. Our life's not our own anymore. We belong to a king, and his name is Jesus Christ. Consider it tonight. Ponder tonight. God will lay somebody in your heart. I promise you. He will lay somebody in your heart for you to give them. Ask him, Father, who? Father, who? Just be quiet. Quiet. And I promise you, somebody will come up. And be real careful what you say. Don't pound them, man. Don't, and this is the best advice pastors ever give me, don't tell them what you know. Tell them what you hear. There's a big difference. That's why I stopped blogging. Because I want everybody to know what I knew. One thing I knew was I wasn't hearing him. But if we say what we hear, we cannot go wrong. Because if we minister what we hear, then we ministered instruction that was holy and undefiled. Amen. I know you guys aren't used to me being calm. You're used to me throwing spitballs and doing splits. And well, not splits, but somersaults. But he is worthy of all praise, isn't he? David said, Jehovah lives. I know tonight it wasn't too loud. It might have been a little bit boring to you, but nonetheless, there's good groundwork there. Ask the Father. Ask him tonight, Lord, who would you have me call? And then, I'm closed already. I'm stuttering now. The 29th, probably at 5 o'clock, we're going to be right here. We're going to get a big old king-size kickball, and we're going to get together. We'll probably make some burgers and just laugh and have a good time. Pastor doesn't even know we're doing this. It's okay. Who's Pastor Bronk, right? We'll just... He'll love it. I know Pastor's heart already. I know his heart. I know his heart. So the 29th, it's a Saturday, Alex. Alex is spearheading it, more or less. He's doing a lot. Thank God for him and Renee and Mavis that does so much. And Oralia, thank God for those that come. And Terry and my wife and Ruben and Jimmy. Where would I be without them? And just praise God for everybody that the souls into the gate, comes down and helps us. Miss Barbara, God, Barbara with the intercession. Last but not least, right, the intercessor. Keep praying, Barbara. Keep praying. I know there's some hungry kids out there. And if you pray for me, just pray that I would just hearken unto the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That I would be so sensitive to his simplicity, to that simple voice that will guide me in every single direction. My heart's for the people of this town. My heart's to those that I've known have been on fire for God. And granted, they're accountable themselves, but we cannot be irresponsible shepherds. According to Ezekiel, we cannot be irresponsible. If they're going to fail, let them fail because they chose to, but let it not be because me and you didn't put a little bit of effort to letting them know that we love them. Amen? Hallelujah.